Buried is produced and distributed by KETR.org and is presented uninterrupted thanks to the support of its fans and listeners. Become a supporter today when you visit KETR.org and click donate.
I'm George Hale, the host of Buried. In the last episode, we heard from Cody's ex-girlfriend Janice. My colleague Emma Anderson and I spent several hours with her at her house in Panola County in East Texas. She told us everything she could remember about the things Cody told people about the last time he saw Carrie. And so much more. Insight about Carrie's car, a disturbing letter Janice received from a man in prison named Billy, and some important clarifications about a domestic assault arrest. In other words, way too much to cram into one episode. So, we're presenting an extended version of this interview here, between the 5th and 6th episodes. We think it's all worth hearing.
My name is Janice Height.
Okay. Your connection to this whole thing is you had the joy of dating Cody Sunger, right?
Yes, sir. I dated him for a year. Well, I lived with him for a year.
And how did you meet?
He worked with my boyfriend in the Logwoods.
In Oklahoma?
No, here in Carthage.
He was here when?
From 2013 to... Well, before then, because I had just met him in 2013. No, 2012 is when we got together, me and Pete. And that's when I met Cody. And I met him through Pete. You know, they worked together. And me and Cody got together in 2014, May 5th of 2014.
Yeah. And you know that date because he called you?
He sent me a text message. And usually... I would answer them sometimes. Sometimes I wouldn't. But this particular time, I was kind of in a slump, alone, you know, kind of down. And I called him, and he came and picked me up that evening.
And then you just never left him.
Never left him.
Is he like so charming or what?
Yes, he was. He was. He was. I don't know. He was. He was suave.
Yeah.
You might say. Had a way with ladies. He was. He was not shy at all. Very attentive to a woman's needs or whatever, you know. He's just, that's what's so mind-boggling to all this, you know.
You never heard of Carrie Parker before?
Well, whenever me and Cody got together, he told me that they were, he was a suspect of her disappearance.
What, how did that come up?
I guess maybe he was like afraid that I would leave him. I wouldn't find out, you know, if I found out what the depth of it was, that I might leave him or something. Yeah. I really don't know. I really can't say.
But he definitely brought it up. Right?
Yes, he brought it up.
I mean, I could understand why you would tell someone that.
Yeah, and he had told me that just the little bit he did tell me was that she had always talked about going to Mexico and being a sex slave.
Yeah.
And... that was kind of odd because, I mean, this woman's got three children that she loved very much, you know. I found this out afterwards. And I had went to jail in 2015. And once I lost everything I owned behind that man. We were living in Oklahoma and we were having trouble. We had gotten on drugs and we were having trouble real bad. And he suggested that I come to Texas to visit with two of my children and two of my grandbabies. 2 days after I got here, he moved a woman in my home, and he sold my travel trailer while I was, well, after, it was right after I got out, the day I got out of jail, he moved it, he hooked onto it and moved it, and then a couple of weeks later, he sold it.
How do you sell it without a title anyway?
Well, he told the man that bought it that the title got wet, because it had a leak in it, and it just so happened to be... in the upper part above the bed where I stored stuff, and so he just wrote the man a bill of sale.
Sorry, first of all, why did you move to Oklahoma?
With him, behind a job.
Okay. What made him leave his last job here, if you know?
Hang on, just 1 second.
Maybe I don't remember.
Well, no, I was in a coma, and it just...
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
And since 2013, February 2013, I've died three times. A man cut my throat and my chest. and I died in the kitchen floor and in the ambulance.
Who was that?
Pete Curry, the one that introduced me to Cody.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just something, I'm a magnet to bad relationships, but I'm 49 years old, and I've learned more in the last 2 years than I learned in 47.
So he taught you all that?
Just the bad relationships I've been in.
It's good for us to know, I guess, about the company that Cody hangs out with too, right? I guess I never heard anything about this Pete guy. How long are you with him? Do you mind me asking?
I was with Pete for 10 months.
Okay. And he's a violent guy, presumably?
Yes. He beat me several times. We drugs, alcohol, and he just went crazy.
Yeah. So he was violent towards you, like, just you, or he's violent to people in general, or what?
Others, too, yes.
And him and Cody are close, or what?
They were, yes. They were very close.
From working together.
Mm-hmm.
Logging, what was it?
In logging in the woods. Okay.
Huh. Did he go to jail or anything, or did you report that?
He's in the pen right now.
Okay. For that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Is that how you ended your relationship, or?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's good. I mean, I'm good for you, all right? Like,
yes.
Some people, you know, like, they've nuts and knife.
And that was the end of it.
Yeah. And so he's in jail for that.
Mm-hmm. He's in the pen.
How long has he been in?
14 years.
So we got to get the story done.
He'll do every day of it.
Okay.
And he better not come to Panola County when he gets out.
Yeah. All right, man. That's incredible. He's got any good other good friends like that around?
So. The ones he hangs with in Oklahoma is not, I mean, they're not reputable people.
Yeah.
Thugs, drug heads.
One of the big questions I have,
and
obviously.
I know for a fact that Cody's still on dope, because I've got friends up there that call me, you know, whenever they run into him and like how bad he looks, and he just was arrested not too long ago for drug paraphernalia, okay. Which means needles, insulin syringes, because that's the way.
So is it heroin for that?
No, it's ice.
Ice. Okay.
Meth. Ice.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know when he stopped? If he stopped, like, dealing and stuff, too? Or is it sort of, like, a side gig?
I'm sure if he had opportunity that he would, because he can't hold down a job. I mean, it's just, they got caught with a bunch of stolen possessions and stuff like that, you know, just different items.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he had the opportunity to, if he's not doing it.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, if when we lived in Oklahoma, they tried to cook a batch of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, you just make damn sure I'm not around when you do it.
Yeah.
So I left.
Yeah.
I went to a friend's house and sit at a friend's house while they attempted to make some.
They didn't have, like, the know-how or whatever?
They knew how. It just, the one of the processes that they did didn't turn out right. And the weather and stuff has to be right for it, I guess.
I don't know. It's very complicated.
I mean, I don't know how to do it. Don't want to know how to do it.
Yeah.
Never had a drug charge. Not going to get one.
Yeah. No, that's good to know, too.
He did say that he supplied Quinlan, Terrell, and all of West Tawakoni with the dope.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And the story that I had heard was that they were running drugs.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they make money off of this, or what?
They can check the newspapers.
Now. Yeah, we're going to look up all the old newspapers from back then.
Okay.
So, that's fact, that's what we're going to do today, but then I thought, maybe we should talk to you instead.
Does Patricia know that y'all had come to talk to me?
She knows I talked to you. I don't know if she knows that we're coming out here, but I'll tell her.
No, I talked to Patricia.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. I do. I'll tell her.
She's so, like,
I haven't gotten to meet her yet, but
yeah?
We want to meet, yes.
Because
I've helped her a lot with just little things, and I told her, I said, Patricia, don't ever give up. I said, because every single drop eventually fills that bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I never thought of it like that.
It's true, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
There's we found out so many little tiny things that seem to add up to a way bigger,
mm-hmm.
you know. And obviously, like, a big part of that is talking to the new Cody. So there's you. You're the only one who so far has
the bravery to.
Yeah. And I understand.
Or the heart to come forward.
Yeah.
Well, at one point, I had told you this on the phone the other day. The man that Cody and Pete worked for, had a brother that worked with them from time to time. And they would all gather up at Jimmy's house on the weekend. And a man that I was married to was there. I later married this man, was there. And we were talking about this after I got out of jail. I moved back in with my husband and his sister because I didn't have anywhere to go. Well, we tried a second go at it. Didn't work out. But he had told me, we were just sitting and talking about it, and he spoke up and said, well, you know, so one night we was all over at Jimmy's, and Cody had gotten drunk, and he just started blurting out, man, y'all just don't know the things I've done, what I've done, and kind of, I mean, nobody really paid him any attention because he was drunk, but I'm sure if somebody had had any idea, you know, might would have questioned him and said, well, what are you talking about, Cody? And
yeah. But, yeah, no one did that, I guess. And who knows what... You said he also had, like... You could tell he was, like, tortured by something, right? You said he...
Yes, the man was tortured by something. Something was eating at that man. And, like, I would catch him sometimes just, like, and... Just gone. Just far, far away.
Something worse than others, maybe.
He really, he tried really, really extra, extra hard, I think, to be good to me because of that.
Because
if he didn't get rid of her, he knows what happened to her. Yeah. I feel that. And my instincts are almost always right.
Yeah.
Now, I know right there at the end, and I told you this the other day, right at the end, whenever we started having all of our trouble, that he would try to get me to go to work with him at night. It was at night, and he ran a machine that, what do you call that? Backhoe?
Yeah.
Front end loader?
Front end loader.
And he would try to get me to go to work with him. And it was like, no, I don't want to, you know, because what if he dug? And I didn't know about Carrie, that much about Carrie, until after we split up and I went to digging.
Yeah.
But, just it was just like a feeling that I had.
Yeah.
You know, here we are arguing and stuff, and I'm not going to go to work with you. Might dig a hole and just throw me off in it. Nobody would have ever found me.
But did he ever mention that Carrie was, like, supposedly buried somewhere?
No. When he told me that she wanted to go to Mexico and be a sex slave, and when she went missing, he was telling me, you know, well, they need to question her daddy, or they should have questioned her daddy, or her ex-boyfriend, because that's where they found her car. Her car was parked in his driveway. Yeah. And he's a Mexican guy. That's what Cody said.
Yeah.
And he's a Mexican.
And
so kind of implying that maybe the Mexican boyfriend got her to Mexico or whatever. But they've never found her car. Why would he tell me that?
One thing I can think of is that he was thinking about her Camaro.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened to her Camaro either. But I do know that she got that Buick.
It was the Buick Skylark, because that's what we were talking about, her disappearance.
Yeah.
And he said they found her car in the driveway, and they haven't found her car. Patricia is the one that told me that they finally questioned him.
Last November.
Who done that? Who?
Hunt County.
Hunt County did?
Sheriff Haynes. Detective Haynes, the one who's on the case. I don't know why now, but I think I know why. I think it's because Patricia raised hell about it, obviously, and then...
Well, then it just went away, it just died down.
Yeah, nothing happened, as far as I can tell, nothing happened. They won't release information about it to... if you request information from them, they refuse, and they say it's because of an open investigation. They're allowed to refuse.
But it's not an open investigation.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's what they say. But they've been saying that.
They're hiding it. It's what they're doing.
It's a common excuse and tactic for not commenting on things is to say it's an open investigation. You know, because it's one of the only excuses they're allowed to give to journalists, at least.
Well, I never really asked Cody any questions about it because I could not picture Cody doing something like that. Because he was so, like I said, I mean, he would never holler at me. He never put his hands on me.
Yeah. So, like, do you ever consider the possibility that he was totally innocent and just totally a mistake, misunderstanding?
I have contemplated that, yes.
Yeah.
That maybe somebody else done it and point the finger at him.
Yeah.
You know, the man could be totally innocent.
People always assume it's the ex-boyfriend anyway, you know?
Right.
And they fought, too. That's what they say.
Well, he never told me anything about them fighting?
Just the last time anyone ever saw Carrie, they were having an argument. She was having an argument with Cody.
Well, the witness is there at the wagon wheel.
Yeah, so you think it's the wagon wheel, was it a motel, is that it?
It was a saloon, motel. Okay. Like, there was a saloon on the end of the motel.
Because I was telling her in the car, you were the first one to say it was at the wagon wheel. Other people said it was at some party in Hawk Cove. Ever heard of that?
It could have been. Because I remember when we went, now this is going to trip you out. This came to mind.
Fire here.
When me and Cody moved to Oklahoma, November 11th of 2014, we had to pass through Quinlan. And he was silent the whole way through it. He pointed out the wagon wheel to me, and that was the only thing he said. He showed me where, he said, that's where me and Dad had our business. And that was it. That's the only two things he said about the whole ride through Quinlan.
What business?
Cody's dad and him had a septic business.
Yeah, but not the wagon wheel.
They're in Quinlan, no. We had to pass through Quinlan to get to Oklahoma. Uh-huh. And the only thing Cody said the whole time that we were going through Quinlan, he pointed out the wagon wheel to me. Mm-hmm. And because he had told me stories about the saloon, you know, they'd go to the saloon and stuff. And then where him and his dad had their business.
Oh, so, but in the, okay.
He was silent the rest of the time going through Quinlan.
Who's Cactus?
It's one of the girls that, he was dancing with the night that Carrie threw the drink in his face.
Did he tell you that, or did you hear that?
He told me that. He told me that story.
Okay.
He told me the story about the party, that they were all there, and he was dancing with Cactus. Carrie came in, and he danced a couple of dances with her, danced with Cactus, bought him a drink, and they were sitting there, and Carrie mentioned, or asked Cody, said, y'all are going to hook up, ain't y'all? You know, sleep with each other. And he said, yeah. He said, I intend to. And she threw the drink in his face.
What did he say after that?
That she left. That she left out. That she left out of whatever, the party, wherever it was at.
There'd be an argument next
to him. Right, but that's why I'm saying he was so docile and...
Really?
Like, even our little arguments that we would get into, like I said, it was over as quick as it started, and it was not mentioned again.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good to know.
Yo, I just forgot that last part that I was telling you about whenever he did actually tell me about the night of her disappearance.
What about it?
That they was at the party and she threw the drink in his face and then she left.
Yeah, you told us just now.
Yeah, but I know I should have said it at the first or whatever.
Okay. Oh no, it didn't. I mean, you told me on the phone anyway, so it wasn't like urgent, you know. Okay. And plus I heard that from Cody himself, because he tells
that to
the police and he tells that to Brian too.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that.
Now that part, I mean that part right there, I can believe that, you know. But, I mean, there's got to be someone that was at that party
that remembers. Well, Cactus is the one, right? That's who we need to find. I have no idea who she is.
No, I mean, he never told me Cactus's real name, but he did mention Cactus at the party that night.
Yeah.
That he had been dancing with her and stuff and flirting with her. I can't remember the guy's name. Jim, I think, was his name. That threw the party.
I don't know his last name, though.
Well, Cody said it, but I don't remember it. I just remember Jim. He says it in the phone conversation with Brian, I think.
Does he say last
he
name?
Says his name. His last name, I think.
You know, maybe he does.
I'm almost sure he does.
Have you ever heard that, by the way? Cody's conversation with Brian, did I ever give you that?
No.
Oh, my goodness. You got to hear it.
Yeah.
I could get it on my phone right now.
Me too. It's hard to make out some of it, but...
Not mine. Mine is clean.
Oh, really?
Yes. You can hear. I mean, you understand every single word.
You know him, though. You know how he talks.
But, and I also tell you know when he was lying.
Oh.
Because, like, I'd kind of scold him about something, and he would, okay, just, like, I'm trying to keep eye contact with him, and he would look up like this. He wouldn't look me straight in the eye, but he'd steady be talking to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And like when his boss would call him, like he would lay out of work or something. Yeah. And if he wanted to get off the phone with her real quick, he'd say, "Yeah, hang on, I'm coming." He does that in the phone.
Oh yeah, I remember. You're right. He does. Yeah, you don't hear any reason for him doing it. He just does it.
You don't hear nobody say anything to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be right there, Mike.
So he did that. Oh, that's funny you knew that.
Seriously.
Oh, that's so funny. So, yeah, what were you going
to
ask me?
Are there any more ticks like that? If we were ever to have a conversation with him.
Yeah.
What and we were supposed to figure out what was true and what was not, what would we look for?
Give me just a second. He had a habit of, like, his arms, like, he couldn't be still.
Yeah, like that.
Like, you know, yeah. He was, and I knew when he was lying to me. I knew it, because look, he'd cut his eyes up like this, and he'd still be talking to me. And I'd tell him, "You're lying, Cody, because you won't let me lie." In all reality, from what I know about Cody Songer, it's hard for me to believe that he had heart to do that. That's why I'm thinking my scenario, I've sit and I've laid awake many, many nights, laid awake, you know, because I laid beside that man for a year. And for him to do something like that, you know, I'm like, wow, it's like a shock, you know, fear. It's like fear.
But just maybe he didn't.
But I'm thinking that they might have made Cody bring her to them. And they killed her, got rid of her body, got rid of her in front of him to let him know, if you talk or whatever, this is going to happen to you, to hush him. If the drugs, if that's in fact what they were doing.
What makes you think the people that he was around were capable of stuff like that? Can you talk about those kinds of people?
We're talking about the law here.
Uh-huh. Okay. So
the force.
I get it, yeah. I know that back then Quinlan and Tuokkonen were not the most reputable.
Because, I mean, Cody never mentioned, he's told me that he's been in trouble a couple of times, but he never mentioned any kind of trouble in Hunt County that he had been in. He's been in jail a couple of times there. Mm-hmm. I found that out after I got out of jail, after we had split up.
Yeah.
And he never talked about the laws. But that he went to jail or went to prison while he was with Carrie.
Yes.
And she started seeing someone else.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And I think that was the onset of their...
Yeah, breakup or whatever.
Their breakup.
Yeah, I think she started dating Cop, actually.
Okay. This kind of, this just come to mind, too.
Yeah.
The story is that... right before her disappearance, about 2 weeks before her disappearance, or a week, 2 weeks, that she went to her dad and told her dad that she was in trouble and was going to turn state's evidence. Okay. If her dad is the only one that she told, how did they find out that she was going to turn state's evidence? If she might have confided in Cody and then Cody told him. Well, I mean, if her dad is the only one she confided in, then her dad should have been the only one that known that she was going to do this. She had to have told someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I really wish her dad was around to talk to. You know, he knows everything seemingly.
Or Leonard. This guy that wrote me the letter.
Yes.
His name is Billy Givens. And he lived with me and Cody in Oklahoma for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Well, one day they gathered up some cans and scrap iron and stuff and took it to Butcher Pen, to a scrapyard. And on the way out there, I don't know, Billy didn't know anything about Carrie. But Cody just brought it up and started talking to Billy about it. And he said, "Well, they ain't got a body, so they don't have a crime."
Just so, people talking about stuff.
I went, as soon as I got that letter... And I was just shaking, and I called Patricia, and I said, "Oh, my God, you're not going to believe this." And I turned right around and mailed the letter out the very next day to Patricia.
I got it now. She's a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she obviously wanted me to see that.
And Billy said he didn't mind, you know, I mean, because I wrote him and told him about it.
Good friend.
And he said he didn't mind.
Yeah. Where's he? Is he in jail?
He's in prison.
I'd be a good person to ask.
He's you might could talk to him and find out more of what they talked about that day.
Yeah, maybe I'll write him a letter. All his info's on that.
Yeah.
It's the same as him, right?
Just tell him that you come and sit and talk with me, and because he loves me to death.
Yeah, I got that impression.
He considers me one of his very best friends.
Sweet. He seems a really sweet guy. This
he
guy.
Is.
What's he in jail for?
He's in there for a crime he did not commit.
Really?
Some other guy told several other people, a 15-year-old lad is in prison for something I done, and that was like years ago when it first happened. And he's in prison for failure to register as a sex offender, I believe, for leaving out of the state. Mm-hmm. He's got a 6-year sentence, a 5-year sentence, and two twos. But they're running together, so it's just a 6-year sentence.
What's the sex? Like, what was the thing?
They said that he raped a 76-year-old lady.
Jesus. And it was someone else?
Mm-hmm. Two people that don't even know each other come forward and said that he bragged about doing it.
Who brags about something like that?
Sick people.
Yeah, I guess the same type of person who raped a 70.
Yeah.
Carrie's father, Howard, used to talk about how Carrie moved out of their house, which I'm sure Patty told you that. His Patty lived there too. They moved out of his house and moved in with some people, and I guess after breaking up with Cody too. I think she broke with Cody, moved in with her dad, and then moved out of her dad, beginning an argument.
Yes, yes.
So then she moved in with two people, and her father remembered them as Ken and Rhonda. Ken and Rhonda Cotton. I don't know if they're actually married or I don't know, but Patty, in her detective work, has found a Vonda and Kent Cotton, or Vonda, something like that. And so very close sounding to what her dad remembered, you know, and. Both of these people deny any knowledge of Carrie at all, even though, for whatever reason, Patty's convinced that they're the two.
Well, it's like I said, you know, they may be scared.
Because
this case has not been investigated, and, I mean, it's just been swept under the rug, and it makes me wonder why, you know, why someone hasn't come forward and told because it's not going to be investigated.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they might be afraid that something's going to happen to them.
Other people pointing to and stuff. It's really, like, or sorry.
Why in the hell can't they just go and just sell them? We're digging whether you like it or not. And dig. Well, why don't y'all go to her and tell her the story and see if she won't let y'all dig?
I want to, yeah. Because, I mean, like, reasonable people would say, look, or bring the police, or whatever, right? Like, crazy people would refuse, and apparently, like, they've in the past refused.
Let her read the story, and then...
Yeah. They say that they cooperate with police or something. I don't know. We'll get there eventually, but one step at a time. No, yeah.
Cody and him used to own a bar, too.
Really?
His mom and dad owned a bar.
Really? Where was that?
At Lindale. I mean, in there. Atlanta. I think it was Atlanta. He's from Atlanta. Cody's from Atlanta. He was born in Atlanta.
Does he have siblings, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's a sister died, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, what was her name? I was friends with her on Facebook.
Patty loves her. Which surprised me.
She just died.
She had ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She was sad.
Okay, now, I can hook you up with somebody that knows him in Oklahoma, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to get too, like, I don't want to, like, get him freaked out or anything.
Okay, well. I mean, let's don't do the Oklahoma thing right now.
Yeah, okay, I can get it for me anytime, though.
Okay, yes, you can, because I have it in my phone.
Okay.
I have, couple of numbers in my phone that, like his ex-boss, the one that moved us up there, he worked for him prior. Well, I can give you several of his ex-boss's numbers.
Why does he have so many ex-bosses? He can't...
Because he can't hold a job now.
Why not? What's his deal?
Dope.
That's it?
Or he just might not be able to be in one place and be still for long.
Yeah. I get the sense he's pretty restless, huh?
Yeah.
So I have this, like, you know, thing I just wonder if, like, that he didn't do it and the guilt of, or the like, suspicion of everyone else drives him crazy, you know what I mean? Or something.
Right. Part of me wants to believe otherwise, that he didn't do it because he was a good man. I mean, he had a good heart. Cody had a good heart. And he never met a stranger, was always willing to help anybody do anything, regardless what it was. If it was get down and waller in the shit with you, you know, he'd do it.
Yeah, you told me, like, before that you'd help, like, old people and stuff, right? Yeah.
And just as friendly and kind to everybody.
Yeah. And he doesn't, and he's not violent, too.
No, he, not a violent bone in his body. In fact, let me tell you what happened one time. I'm stouter than he is. And this is a big, tall, lanky man. Not big, but, yeah, you know. I held him down in the yard for 45 minutes one day.
Why?
Because he was freaked out on drugs. He tried to grab my car keys from me and take off because he was convinced that somebody was after me trying to kill me. And they were telling him, you got to protect her, you got to protect her, you got to protect the queen. Well, we were going to go to Huxley and get the rest of our stuff from my cousin's house. And I forgot my phone charger, so I backed up and killed the car, got the keys, went in the house. I had some mail to mail. And I had my keys in my hand, and I was digging in that drawer there by Larry's table. And he come running up there and grabbed them keys. Well, I took off running after him. And I was like, it's now or never. And whenever he's jumped off the porch, I just leapt on him and wrapped my arms around him, and my head went bam on the ground. Oh, man, it shattered my teeth, and, oh, man, I had a bad headache. My cigarette got caught under my shoulder, was burning the piss out of me. I just took my legs and locked them around his and held him there. And he was fighting, trying to get away, and he just finally just wilted. He said, you're too stout for me. He said, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, let me up. And I locked my legs a little tighter and slipped my hands down and grabbed his belt, his pants, in the back of him. And he let him sit up till the ambulance got there.
Why was an ambulance coming?
Because he was overdosed. I mean, he was, yeah, he was freaked out.
So,
skitzing out. Wigging out.
You want to know something funny? I think you're going to be shocked when I tell you this. I think the police asked him about you. Because they asked him about something they had heard about him assaulting his girlfriend or something, and he said, what? No, it was about, I was trying to get her keys or something.
Yeah, he never hit me. Cody Songer never put his hands on me.
But that's good to hear, though, that, like, unless it's a separate story.
No.
It's good to hear from
it's the, not. It's he, that man girlfriend. Never hit me.
Yeah, okay.
He was never violent toward me.
Because to me that just sounded like,
I'll tell you what I did to him one night, though. He was fixing pop off something about my family, and he was sitting on the edge of the bed. Billy was laying on the couch. And I done run up on him, and I had my fist doubled up, and I told him, just say one more thing. Just say one more thing. And he was telling me, get out of my face, Janice. Get out of my face. Just as kind, soft-spoken. Billy said, Janice, get out of his face. The man's done ask you nicely. And I backed up. Yeah, the man, he was not violent. He was not violent at all.
Yeah,
and I mean, exactly. I mean, we done dope, and we'd be up for days and days, and even the edginess, and like when you're coming down,
yeah,
you know, me and my husbands before that fought like cats and dogs,
yeah,
but Cody was not like that.
Yeah, that's so interesting, yeah.
I mean, we'd just like, blah, 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 and that would be it. It wasn't nothing yeah to it.
It's so funny that you're the, I didn't think that
it was over as quick as it started.
Yeah. Because I didn't, you know, if you were me, wouldn't you think that was just some, like, BS excuse? You know, I was like, I wasn't beating her up, I was trying to get her keys, you know?
Yeah, he was trying to get my keys. He was trying to get my keys.
See, I should not be so dismissive of people and every
reading this. It was thing funny, though, because here I am high as a kite, and I'm thinking, yeah, you just done stepped off in it again. But I was trying to get Larry to call the police, or call 911. He wouldn't do it, and I said, well, give me his damn phone. So he took the phone and brought it over to me, and Cody slapped it out of my hands. So I had to get Cody, and I had to kind of hook my hand like that and reach over and get the phone. And I was holding the phone way out here dialing 911. And I finally got it dialed and got it on speaker. And I was like, man, y'all need to come up here to Washington, whatever it was, the address. The fire department got there first. And he talked me into letting him go. And I said, okay. I said, I'm going to tell you what. I said, he's in your care after I let him go. You know, because, I mean, I didn't want him running off and getting hurt or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like to lose my mind whenever I come back to Texas, and it drove me crazy. I like to went crazy in jail.
Yeah. That's really messed up.
You know, I've been to the pen twice, and whenever I went and spent those 97 days in jail, woo, it's the hardest time I ever done.
And And this last one was after he did all that with you, right? Or...
Well, I come down here to visit with the kids and grandbabies because we was having trouble. And when I felt it in my gut, I felt it so deep in my gut. I told him, I said, I'll never see you again. I told two of my friends that. I said, I have a bad feeling about this. And sure enough, it's just like he just shut the door and walked away. I mean, I loved him. I cared about him.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why part of me wants to believe that, or hope and pray, you know, that he didn't do that because he was a good man.
Buried is a production of 88.9 KETR FM in Commerce, Texas, and of KETR.org. Its host and principal reporter is George Hale. Executive producer is Jared Knight, with production help from Emma Anderson. Theme music is composed and performed by Brad Davis, and cover art was designed by Crystal Sid. You can catch up on previous episodes at KETR.org/buried or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.
This show, and others like it from KETR.org, is only made possible by the generosity of listeners just like you. You can help make this show and others from KETR possible by donating now at KETR.org.